In those ancient teachings of the Buddha, when he talked about living a life of being awake, jagara, jagrati, or something like that, he talked about being awake while one sits, being awake while one lays down, being awake as one stands, and being awake as one walks. So all the four, sometimes it's called the four dignified postures, that you would be somehow be awake in it and be embodied a certain kind of presence and attention. And it was one of the classic practices associated with mindfulness. And one of the emphases of that is that any of the postures are good for practice. Any of your postures are the your primary meditation hall. And so to be in that hall, to be embodied. And so I interpret it partly to be, it's useful to be attentive to posture, to care for the posture, to care for yourself through your posture. And as we change over the weeks and months, days, years, whatever of practice, that small adjustments in posture are needed, or big adjustments in posture. I've been doing this now for over 45 years, and there's trends in my posture and how I've been in the posture and different postures at different times and different ways of being, and to be attentive to those changes and to kind of over time to adjust accordingly. And we have in English the idea that people were posturing, and that usually means they're kind of jockeying for position, for status or something. It's not necessarily a nice thing to do, but however, it does point to there's much more involved in posture than just physical structure of how our body is positioned at any particular time. A lot gets expressed through our posture. And one of the opportunities with mindfulness is to take a posture that expresses some capacity, some exactly the concept that's useful for individuals is, you know, it's not so clear, but for each of you to find your own, but a posture that expresses some dignity, a posture that expresses some uprightness, some posture that expresses some little bit of strength and confidence. And then with that, with a posture that expresses that, then to let the posture hold or contain all the emotions that come through, all the feelings and the attitudes that come through. And mindfulness is very permissive of all the ways that we can be. There's nothing censored or condemned in what arises as we take this posture. The posture can hold it all. But it doesn't hold it. Like, so if there's a lot of grief, which can be quite intense, so to keep sitting upright as if the posture is confident. Take a confident posture. You don't have to be confident, but you have the posture that way. So you don't confuse the two between, you know, how you're supposed to be and how your posture is. But take a confident posture and then let the grief wash through you, or let the anger wash through you like a river, or that it just moves and flows. And then if you collapse, if you suddenly, if you have, you know, really sad and you collapse like this and put your head and like this, then you have, it's reasonable to feel that way. That's, then you've given in to the, succumb to the feeling. You've given into it. You're giving yourself over to it, which in some situations is fine, but that's not what we're trying to do when we meditate. We're trying to be very respectful of our feelings, allow them to be there, but don't fall into them and don't pull away from them. Don't resist them, but also don't believe them or kind of collapse into them. So to me, that's so the posture is part of, has this importance of helping us find that middle way, that balance where we can allow things to move through us with respect for what they are, but not being involved in them or make it more complicated than it needs to be. More practically, it's good to sit in a posture that that you can sustain the meditation for a longer period of time. It's unfortunate if the posture is somehow not so well aligned, that something like the back or the knees or something unnecessarily are painful. And then when it could have been a small adjustment in the posture, then the pain, you know, wouldn't have to be there. And that's one of the reasons I like to give this posture instructions, to avoid unnecessary pain. And so occasionally, very occasionally, unnecessary injury. Not so much in Vipassana, but in like in Zen, where you're not supposed to move sometimes, that people actually have injured themselves by sitting through pain. So I'll talk a little bit about sitting on the cross-legged and then on the chair, both. And then if there's time, I can go around, maybe Bruni as well can go around and check your posture. If you ask us to look at it, and if you have particular questions, we can address it. So the classic meditation posture is sitting cross-legged on the floor, on the ground. And there's some advantages to it. It's a lower center of gravity, which makes it a little more stable. This tripod that we get with our knees and our butt is more stable and grounded. And there's also some yogic benefits of how our energy or moves through our body and is held up, that somehow is a little bit useful. But we don't emphasize it too much, that the yogic benefits of the posture in this our tradition. Partly because we really want to meet ourselves as we are and not use a crutch. Like you could, if you sat in full lotus, I mean, that's a powerful yogic posture. If you're able to do it, it's fantastic energetically and for all kinds of things. But it also becomes a little bit of a crutch. It's like relying on something, something that gives you kind of a strong energy or good energy or something, rather than meeting yourself and working through all that's there. So this balance between, you know, anyway, so it has some advantages sitting this way, but I wouldn't make too much of it. And I also recommend not actually to sit cross-legged, but to actually to have one leg in front of the other. And sometimes it's been called Burmese fashion, or in the West, sometimes it's called Taylor fashion. And the advantage of that is that there's no crossing, there's less torque on the knee, and less pressure against the shin sometimes there's there, or less twisting of the ankle. It's maybe fine to do that. I did that for years, and mostly it worked fine. But once I started doing Vipassana practice, where sometimes there was a lot more sitting than we did in Zen, actually, that then I found it was actually easier to maintain this kind of not cross-legged floor position. So one leg is in front of the other. It's also more balanced. Once you get the feet up on the called half lotus up on the shin, or half lotus up like this, it begins to list us a little bit in one direction, and then if you straighten out, you're stretching one side of the body more than the other, which in the long term is not so good. So this sitting like this is one way that I recommend, but each person will have to find their own way. And if you can't get the knees down on the floor, there's an advantage to having the knees kind of on the mat. But to do that, you have to get some elevation. And how much elevation you need under your butt with a cushion depends on how open you are on your hips. And so sometimes if you're tight in the hips, you want to have a lot of elevation. If you're really open in the hips, you get lower. And you can do hip opening yoga exercises that would help to that in some regard. And but you want to be high enough also, so there's a little bit of a tip of your pelvis forward, and that makes it a little bit easier for the knees to come down. And when your knees are touching the ground and you have a little bit of elevation, it also creates more of that stability. Some people find that they can't do that, but what works well for them, if like one leg is up in the air, one knee, is to put something underneath it like this, just a little bit something to have, give that support. And or both of them. And some people will have, I've seen people sit with four zafus, one or two underneath their butt and one in each under knee. And that's a fine way to sit if that's what really gives you some stability and strength without having your knees hurt too much. And then when you sit this way, small adjustments in the legs can make a difference with how the knees are. You can have the knees closer together or the knees further apart. You can have your feet further out away from your body or more tucked in under your body. If you find the ankles are hurting a little bit, you can get like a little sock or a face towel or something and put it underneath like this. Something underneath like this. So then you have more of a normal angle here, that people find that helpful. If you find your knees are tight, or a little bit, you can't get them down or it's a little bit strained, getting into the posture slowly can be helpful. You kind of open, remember, it's all, it has a lot to do with the hips. So you want to kind of pull out of your hips a little bit. And then bring the first one down, but rock it back and forth, stretching it to the one side and rocking it back and forth. And then as you put the knee down, lean into it. Because if you go like that suddenly, you might get too much twisting in the knee. But if you lay down like this and lean forward, all this stays kind of at a good angle. And then it's a little bit easier to do here. I go like this, stretch out of it, pulling myself up out of the joint, and then stretching sideways like this, rocking this leg back and forth, and then leaning into the knee, laying it down, and then stretching out. Sometimes also you can take your hands between your calves and your thighs and pull this out so they're not squeezed together. And that, from people, gives a little bit of relief. And the last thing about the knees is that I find sometimes it's useful to grab my hands over the kneecap and pull the skin up. Because sometimes it's the skin that's stretching. Maybe it's connected to tendons too, but pulling this whole, the whole, like just like you're pulling the skin up, like pulling up a sock or something. Can make it, and it is the slightest adjustment can make enough some difference. And then if you're sitting on this way, a nice thing to do also is you want to have the lower part of your back have the natural curve there, so-called natural. It's hard to tell, different bodies, spines are different, but you don't want to have it curving out too much because that puts a lot of strain on the lower back. And you don't want to be overarched either. That also puts a strain. But there is a kind of a normal S shape in the back. So you want to kind of allow for that. And something that can be helpful is you take either hands on either side of your hips and lift yourself almost off the cushion. And then as you let go, so you're kind of like hanging from your shoulders, kind of. Your torso is hanging. And then as you let go of your... You're holding yourself up, you kind of let your shoulders roll back a little bit. And that might create a nice sense of alignment and straightness and a little bit open in the chest. You don't want to puff out, but you want to have a little bit open here. So if you're collapsed, it's a little bit harder to breathe. If you're a little bit more open, it's a little bit easier for the breathing to happen. And then there are different cushions, kind of cushions to sit on, different ways to be on the floor. There's half moon cushions, there's zafus, round cushions. There is, there's so many different varieties that work for all kinds of different reasons. Over the years that I've done this, I've used every type, I think. The only thing I haven't done a lot of is using a bench. But benches are nice. None of you have a bench here, but there's benches out there. But kind of similar to sitting on a bench is you can take one of these round cushions and put it between your ankles and sit down on it like this. And this works well for some people. And when you sit this way, depending on how your weight goes, sometimes I've gone all the way back to the back of the big mat and had my toes dangling over the back. And that kind of made for less pressure. And sometimes not to have too much pressure on my knees, I brought my knees over the edge of the mat in the front. And sometimes I folded this over in half so both were happening. And that was kind of nice to do. And I would give you this as an alternative because sometimes when if you sit the same posture over and over again, sitting after sitting after sitting, what's a small strain in the beginning begins building up more and more over time. So it's nice to have an alternative. So like maybe you have a primary posture you use, and then maybe one sitting a day, or one sitting in the morning, one sitting in the evening, or something. You break it up and you take a different posture just to give things a break, not to build up a strain. And that could be, you know, also sitting in a chair. Not just this kind of simple change if you're usually sitting on the floor, but, you know, sitting in a chair. If you're sitting in a chair, let's see if I can get this over there without... So if you're sitting in the chair, classic posture is to have your legs more or less parallel to each other with your both feet flat on the ground. And we have these black foam things that's right behind Nancy. Someone's using it there. So the idea is you want to have your knees either parallel to your hips or slightly lower than the hips. And like right now, they're a little bit high. My knees are higher. So I would get something like this, and I would put it to sit on like this. And some people like to sit on these because it makes a really nice angle. It's sometimes easier to keep the back straight with the pelvis rocks forward a little bit. And then if you're short and your feet don't reach the ground, that's what the black foam pads are. So you have a firm foundation underneath. So this is the way I was taught, supposed to be the classic way, but they say that the next Buddha, this is his posture. They're going to be sitting this way. So if you're a chair sitter, you have good company. Maybe you'll be the Buddha. But some people like to sit this way because somehow it's more stable and stronger or something. So whatever works for you. And then if you're sitting in the chair, depends the reason you're sitting in a chair. If it's because of leg issues, like just you can't sit cross-legged for your legs, but you're no problems with your back, the recommendation is you don't use the backrest. So you get some of the yogic benefits that come from having an unsupported back. And there's something very subtle psychologically that shifts if you don't use a backrest, or if you do use a backrest. And you might experiment with it a little bit if you can and see what the difference is for you. But the idea is not to use a backrest if you can. It takes a little bit more alertness and energy then. There's a little bit more kind of giving oneself away or up a little bit by leaning into something. It's very subtle, but if you can, avoid using a backrest. But if you need to use a backrest, please do. And then there's all kinds of things to do that make nice adjustments, nice support for it. One is sometimes you want to have a really good support at the lower part of the back. And you can, if you go lean forward like this and then really push yourself into the back of the chair and then snake up like this, then you'll feel a lot of strong support at the lower part of the back against the backrest. And that strong support makes it easier to kind of be pushed upright a little bit and you're held up a little bit. And if your proportions of your body are such that you can't quite reach, then you can get some of these square cushions and put them behind you so you can get that effect, that support behind. The other thing to do is sometimes what's nice is to have take like a blanket or something and or a towel or something and roll it up into a tube kind of. And then you would This can work sometimes. One of these, it's a little harder, but and you're getting it positioned back here, and I can't really do it, but behind you, so that what support? You're getting the support right along your spine, like this. This works pretty well. So your spine is supported, but allows the shoulder blades to kind of come back. It allows the chest to be open in a way that it doesn't if your whole back is against the backrest. And so some people find this really nice to do. And then, whether you're sitting in a chair or sitting on a cushion, what you do with your hands is you want to do something that's more or less the same, balance in your hands. There's many things you can do. For a decade or two, I had my hands on my thighs, kind of, and then, on the front near the knees. But then, if you have your hands too far forward, it pulls you forward. So you want to make sure this pulled back, and ideally, your elbows are right along the midpoint of your side of your rib cage. And then some people like to have hands palm up. And then some decades I've sat with my hands together, you know, and if you sit them together, if you sit with your, especially sitting cross-legged, again, it depends a lot on your proportions of your body. But if you have your hands resting on top of your ankles, which most people do, something like that, you might also be being pulled forward a little bit. It's easier to keep straight if you do like what Robert is doing. Wait, right? I can't tell. These masks are hard for me. So like this. And that can be nice to do to keep it, you know, keeps an uprightness. And then there's sometimes shoulder problems. People get strains or pain in their shoulders. And some of that comes from lifestyles. You know, so you spent all day on a computer hunched over. And some of it just needs to, you have to be patient with some of that. Sometimes chronically tight muscles, when they start to relax, they hurt for a while. So rather than that you're doing something wrong, that you're actually doing something right, it's beginning to unwind, especially in the shoulder. So sometimes it just takes a lot of patience. But there's a couple of things you can do that might be helpful. One of them is what I call the windmill, which you take one shoulder, lift it up as close to your ear as you can, and then with the shoulder up, you reach forward as far as you can, and then big arc up, and then as you bring it back and around, have the palm go up to the ceiling. And if you do that, maybe you'll feel that shoulder is a little more open and a little bit rolling back a little bit. And then you have to remember to bring the shoulder up first, then stretch forward and around. And then do what you do with your hands. But so that also can alleviate some of the strain that can build there. Also, you have to be careful with your head because heads are actually quite heavy. And if the head is too far, if you're leaning too far over like this, or the head goes forward too far, it's a lot of work for the back muscles here in the neck to hold everything up. It'd be kind of like you have some heavy metal thing you're holding in a hand. It's easier if you hold it close in to the center of gravity, but if you hold it out here, it's a lot of work. So same thing with your head. So you want to kind of, the classic instruction is to have your ears lined up with your shoulders. So sometimes that's maybe a little hard to do, when I first started practicing, the suggestion was to tip your chin down and back a little bit. And what I've learned to do is, instead of doing that, the same movement is to open up the space between the last vertebrae and the skull. And that has feeling more opening rather than contracting to do that. But this is the same thing. And generally, in the Vipassana movement, the recommendation is to meditate with the eyes open. Completely fine to meditate with the eyes closed. It's completely fine to meditate with eyes open. And if that's what you prefer, then 45 degrees to the floor, looking down and kind of a focus, like you're looking at a mountain in the distance. So you're not really, your focus is very loose and relaxed, not studying anything on the floor. And if it's equal, whether you sit with the eyes open and eyes closed, I think in our tradition, the recommendation is that you sit with your eyes closed, partly because there's just less stimuli coming in. So it's a little bit easier to kind of stay really intimate and connected from the inside out. But there's all kinds of good reasons to keep the eyes open, and one of them is that you're less likely to fall asleep. And if you feel really sleepy, that's a good time to open them, because it might keep you alert enough. Also, part of staying alert, if you're really, really sleepy, you can always just stand while you're here. And for other reasons, maybe there's other physical reasons why it's still getting hard to sit all the time. You can actually, any time during a sitting, if you're, try to be quiet, but you're welcome to kind of to stand up and continue doing your meditation standing. And I do standing meditation this way, with my hands to my side. I've known people who've done it like this, or some people have kept their hands in their pockets. They have pockets. And I'll usually do it with my eyes closed. And if I do it, I become acutely sensitive to all the small little movements and shifts. And a lot of them are happening kind of adjusting kind of spontaneously. It's like my body's doing it rather than me doing it. And it's kind of fun to do as an object of focus, like just be there and just kind of be with it all. And at the same time I'm doing it, I'm kind of breathing and being with the breath through it all. And then there is lying down that some people do. And for various reasons, lying down sometimes works better for people at different times. Sometimes because of some physical issue that's the best posture. Some people, because of something to do with their samadhi, their concentration, where there's something different happens as they lay down that's beneficial. And you have to kind of, you always have that permission to do it here. So those up there are available for that. And we ask that no one leaves their gear up there, because then, no one's supposed to reserve it. And people, you can do it in your room. And sometimes there's space here. I don't know if it'll stay here, but sometimes people put a couple of zabutons down here to lay down if they need to. The challenge with laying down is that you can fall asleep easily. And so, if you think that's a danger, keep your eyes open, and look at the ceiling. The other thing that's nice to do if you lay down, that can keep a nice little energy, a little bit of intentionality. So some intention involved. Like when you're sitting cross-legged or even in a chair, there's some intentionality that's involved, that we're giving something over to the posture. So we're laying down in order to get the same kind of intentionality. If you like, imagine I'm laying on my back and I have my one or both arms with the tips of the fingers pointing to the ceiling. And that way, if I start getting sleepy, or falling asleep, the hand falls down on me and it's like, oh, okay, wake up. And so there's that. And then I want to say a few words about pain. You're more than welcome at IRC to change your posture at any time. There's no, this is not a requirement that you have to do, stoically or forcefully push through pain that comes up as you sit. So please, if you feel a need to for it. At the same time, sitting with pain is an opportunity for practice in a variety of things, variety of ways. And if you moved every time you were uncomfortable, or every time you had pain, you'll never learn to become free with discomfort. We have to be really free, you'll only be free when you're uncomfortable. And so riding the edge of pain and working with and discovering where the reactivity is and all kinds of beliefs that come into play that are grab you by the nose or something, reactivity and resistance and pity and all kinds of things that come into play is actually quite valuable. Sometimes sitting with a pain allows for something to release that can't release and let go, both emotionally and physically, if you're always changing and moving with every pain that comes along. You learn a lot about patience and equanimity when you sit with pain and about letting go. So there are definitely, there's a long tradition of just sitting with pain no matter what and just kind of working through it. We don't recommend that no matter what. But when you feel motivated, when you have some sense of encouragement, okay, this is the time, I can see this would be good to spend 2 more minutes with this before I move. Or, you know, maybe I can do a little longer and see what I can learn. And I really want to learn about my reactivity, and this is the chance. Or I want to see if I could find something new about equanimity. Maybe this is the chance. So if you feel motivated like that in a good way, please sit with the pain. But if you don't feel motivated, if you feel discouraged, like you don't want to come back in the hall to sit again because, like, oh, that was terrible, I'd actually recommend that you don't get to go that far with the pain. Don't push and push and push through it. But if you do choose to stay with the pain and you're finding some ability to practice with an equanimity with it, when you get up from the sitting, if the pain kind of disappears quickly, like by the time you get to the bottom of the steps, it's more or less gone, then it's probably just things were stretching too much or something. But if the pain persists more than 5 minutes or so, then you might be in danger of injuring yourself. And that you don't want to do again. And so then be careful. Don't sit with that kind of pain again. And generally in mindfulness, because we're paying careful attention to our sensations and really, generally people will, if they're paying careful attention, they can feel the difference between a pain signal, which signals danger, and one that doesn't. And if you're in doubt, assume that it's dangerous. you'll be extra careful. But if it's, you get a clear signal that it doesn't feel dangerous, it just feels like things are stretching or something or releasing and it needs to happen. But when you end the sitting, it kind of goes away quickly. And one of the funny ones is when you're sitting with a lot of pain and they can't wait for them to ring the bell, please ring the bell. And then finally they ring the bell and say, oh, good, thank God, that finally. And then before you've moved your posture, all the pain has gone away. You say, what was that about? and the other thing that can happen is that you should be careful for is the legs going numb. It's pretty common, and most of the times it happens, it's no problem at all. The one thing to be careful for is to then make sure you have your sensations back in your leg before you stand. Once at Spirit Rock, someone stood up too quickly and fell and cracked, fractured one of the little bones in the foot. So just make sure you feel your sensations and you're confident that you can stand. And usually you just massage it or tap on it or something. It's good. If the numbness goes away within a couple of minutes, it's probably just has to do with blood circulation. That usually worked itself out over time. If the numbness takes more than 4 or 5 minutes to come back, to dissipate, and then chances are you're pinching a nerve. And it's rare, but you never want to pinch a nerve. And that's where in the Zen, where they don't move, where I've seen some serious damage, because they sometimes will damage the sciatic nerve because they just sit through the pain. And then sometimes it takes years for the sciatic nerve to heal itself. So you want to... So this signal that you're sitting the wrong way, pinching the wrong way, is if the numbness persists more than 5 minutes after the sitting or so. And then you never want to sit that way again. You'll be really careful not to have that kind of numbness again. And sometimes just small adjustments make all the difference in the world, where the pressure sits on your butt. For a long time, I was sat on these, on this, like this diamond-shaped, my weight on my tailbone was here, and the sides of my butt kind of dangled in the air. And that worked really well for me for a long time. Other times I've used the half moon cushions to get the weight spread out nicely. And so all kinds of ways that to adjust and move. And so that's a lot to tell you. So hopefully what you needed to hear stuck in the... We don't have much time now for me to go around and check, us to go check people. Maybe we have time for, maybe Rudy and I both can do a couple. But That's something you can come to practice discussion with us. You can even bring your sitting gear with you, and we can, look at your posture, and sometimes from the outside we can see things that are hard to see from the inside. For a long time, I was a Leaning Tower of Gill, meditating, and I thought I was straight. The teachers would come over and gently straighten me out, and then I swore that I was leaning to the other side. But really, now I was straight. So my sense of proprioception kind of it wasn't quite right. And so anyway, so we'll help you to look at your posture and see. And sometimes we can, if you leave us a note, we might also be able to do it here in the hall, maybe at the beginning of a sitting or something. So we'll do what we can. So I hope that was okay, and that I'm not able to see all of you now. But if you want to, maybe a couple of you, we can, if you want to, you raise your hand, and Rini and I can look at you before it's time for people to come in. So thank you.